Okay, Birshutchem, today's daf is daf Yudalid. Today's daf will be for the refuah shlema of all the cholim, Uifrat, David ben Rachel, Binyamin ben Esther, Shlomo ben Sarah, Yafa bat Devorah, Elna Rafan Alehem, and Lehavdil Elu Nishmat, Elisheva bat Aharon. Ruch Hashem, Tenichena ben Gan Eden. We're about to get started. Okay, we are on the top of your Gimel Amud Bet, the second line. So the Gemara said that there was this case of hikdimova shibolim, that you gave your maaser rishon before you were obligated to give terumah, and so the Levi is now fined because he took maasrot before the kohen got his terumah gedolah, and terumah gedolah now you can't perform terumah gedolah anymore. The only thing you can perform is terumat maaser that the Levi is required to do, and if he until he does it, his food, his produce is tevel. So the Gemara said mechashev. We said that you estimate how much you have, and by doing so, meaning, here Rashi says, "Bishlama ibe Israel mokmad la ubetruma gedola ikadamit nemechashev." But when it comes to maaser, right? What did we say? We said you estimate how much you need to separate, how much you need to give. But we said at the end, it's talking about maaser rishon. That was the case. It was talking about maaser rishon. So if it's talking about maaser, we know with maasrot, you're not allowed to estimate. Maaser, you have to give exact. It's a Mishnah and Pirkei Avot also. So the Gemara says, mechashev, you estimate, ha medida ba'e, you need to give exact amounts for maaser. So he says, ha mani, who is his opinion? Abba Elazar ben Gimel hi. His opinion of Abba Elazar. The Tanya, Abba Elazar ben Gimel, omer, v'nechshav lachem terumatchem. It should be like your terumot. B'shtei terumot ha-ketuv medaber. It's talking about two terumot. Echad terumah gedolah, v'echad terumat ma'aser. One is terumah gedolah that's given to the kohen. One is terumat ma'aser that the Levi gives to the kohen. So it says k'shem she terumah gedolah nitelet be'omed v'machshava, just like terumah gedolah. Right? The Torah does not give an exact measurement of how much you need to give for your original produce. It says you give terumah gedolah. So really, if a person wants to give kolshu, a piece of a fruit, he's yotzei dechovah mitzvah. The Mishnah says you should give somewhere between 1/40th and 1/60th, but that's not from the Torah. From the Torah, you can give any amount. So he's saying you can give it any amount, and you can estimate. You don't have to give exact. Umach shava, and even in your mind, you can just think, hey, this is what I want to give, this part, and that's it. That's what you can give. You don't have to go and pick it up and do any ma'aseh with it. It says, kach termat ma'aseh, nitelet be'omed machshava. So too, the ma'aser that the Levi has to give to the Kohen, that terumah, is also able to be given with estimation and in one's mind. So it's this opinion. It's opinion of Abba Elazar ben Gimel. Kufa, Gemara goes back. Amar Rabbi Abau, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. We had this case, Maaser Rishon Sheikdimon Vashibolin, that if you have Maaser Rishon that was given while it was still in its bundling, in its stock stage, in its stock of grains, that it wasn't yet Chayav Vetruma. So he says, Shemo Tovlo LeTurmat Maaser. It now becomes Tevel for Turmat Maaser. The Levi took his Maasrot before the Kohen got his Turma. So the Levi is fined that his food now becomes Tevel and he's not allowed to eat it until he gives Turma to the Kohen. Says my tama. What's the reason? Amar Rava who ilvi atza alav shem maaser, because a name of maaser went out on it. That's what he's saying. He's saying since a name of maaser went out on it, once the name of maaser goes out on it, it's chayav to be given to Turmat maaser.
He's not going to give a penalty. It's just tevel. He says he's forbidden to use it.
Yeah, that's his penalty. Essentially, that's his penalty. So Rashi says, "Hoil ve'yatzalav shem maaser." V'rachmana Amar. The Torah says, "V'haramotem imenu maaser min maaser." The Torah says that you should raise ma'aser from the ma'aser. The mishenikra ma'aser is kikam l'turmato. Once it was called ma'aser, then the Torah requires you to give turuma. So you see that there's an instance where the Torah would require you to give turuma on your ma'aser, is when you're makdimit, you first give the Levi, so that Levi has to give his turuma ma'aser.
Sorry, but even if he takes after the turuma is given, he still has to give ma'aser.
Yes, but it's not shemot of lo. It doesn't become tevel.
Yeah, it doesn't become terrible.
So that's the punishment.
Yeah.
So now the Gemara says, Amar be Shimon ben Lakish, Maaser Rishon Shikdimo Shibolin, Patur Mitruma Gedola. You would be exempt from giving Turma Gedola. How do we know? If he did that, if he gave it to Levi first. If he gave Maaser to the Levi first, he's exempt from Turma Gedola. Why? Shneimar, Vaharamotem Mimenu Turmat Adonai, Maaser, Mina Maaser, that you should raise Turma for Hashem, Maaser from Maaser. So it says, Maaser mina maaser amarti lecha. Maaser from maaser I said to you, velo turma gedola veturmat maaser mina maaser. But not turma gedola or turmat maaser from maaser. That's not what the Torah said. The Torah says you give maaser from maaser. Meaning what? When someone, Levi, is given maaser, he gives maaser on that to the Kohen. But once the Levi is given his maaser, the turma gedola is done with. You can't give it anymore. It's, you're exempt now. So you lose out on that mitzvah. You're not, so you have to give it in the order that it's required. You first give Terumah Gedolah, then Maaser Rishon, and then the rest. Okay?
I thought still, even if the Levi takes his Maaser, the rest is still Tevel, no?
It's Tevel, so he has to give Terumah to Maaser. But Terumah Gedolah, the original part that the original owner had to give, is exempt from now.
The Levi's portion is Tevel, but the rest is still Tevel too, no?
No, not necessarily. I mean, the Shemot of Lo, the guy, the Levi, what he did was asur. He's not allowed to do what he did. So okay, you will definitely receive punishment for that. You're not allowed to do that. You can't skip the Kohen. That's his matana. That's his teruma. You understand? So he says, Amar le Rav Papa le Abaye, I hachi afilu hikdimo bekerinami. So Abaye, Rav Papa says to Abaye, why are you telling me that if he gave maaser while it was before it was chayav b'turma, that only then he's exempt? Even when he's chayav b'turma, say I have this pile of grain that a person's chayav b'turma, and I give maaser on it first. Then now shemot of lo, the guy, the Levi, I was obligated to give turma and maaser, and tell me that the turma gedola is exempt from that as well. So he says, Amar le alecha markra. This is what the pasuk said. Mikol maaser, mikol. I think it's a girsa. Mikol matenotechem. The pasuk says, from all of your gifts, tarimu et kol terumat adonai. You should lift terumah for Hashem. So he says that. Yeah, look. Let's see how Rashi learns this out. Mikol matenotechem tarimu et terumah. Ubelevi'im k'tiv ulahachi k'tiv kol lemimar de kol tzat terumah mutelat bo yiten. That any aspect, meaning once you become obligated in terumah, any aspect of terumah you have to give. You can't hold back the turma that you're obligated to give. So if you have an obligation to give, now you have to give, even if you give maaser first. One, if you did it before you got the obligation, then you're exempt from turma gedula. So he says, Umar ra'ita. Abaye tells him, what did you see to use it? Meaning, how does he learn out from that pasuk? From the word kol. Kol, he uses to come and add something. So he's saying, any type of turma, all types of obligatory turma. So he says, where did you see to include him from that pasuk? For that pasuk, why don't you say it the other way around? Why don't you? Here, look, he says, Rashi says, Umar ra'ita, dai kol demitrabe shadita le akdimo bekeri. Right? We had an earlier pasuk that said kol, that was talking about including the person for shibolim. It was saying when it's in its bundling stage, when it's still not chayav b'turma, over there also, even if a person gave ma'aser, we would say he's exempt from turma. So why are you saying this call is coming to teach us something different? Where do you learn that out from? So he explains, Hay yidgan v'hay lo yidgan. No, one is completely in its final stage of grain, and one is not in its final stage of grain. So once it's in its final stage of grain, it's obviously chayav v'turma, and you're not able to get out of the obligation to the Kohen. Right? But if it's before its obligatory stage, then you gave ma'aser before it, so it's not obligated. That's the difference. Okay? Nan hatam is talking in Mishnah in Maasrot. Hamekalev se'orin. If someone wants to peel barley, mekalev achat achat ve'ochel. You can, right? If it's maaser, that's it. That is the ruling with maaser is you're allowed to eat maaser arai without separating.
Yeah, chance spill.
If you want to have a little bit of maaser one by one like this while you're peeling it, it's allowed. But once you set it aside for later, now it becomes kavua, and now you would have to separate maasrot. So he says, you can mekalef achad achad ve'ochel, im kilef v'natan l'toch yado chayav. But once you take it and you put it into your hand, meaning you don't just eat it, you take it, you put it into your hand, now you're chayav in ma'asor, because you left it. But it has to be while you're peeling.
A bunch or just one piece?
No, one by one. And then if you took like a few and you put it over here, oh, zero, you're chayav in ma'asor.
You're talking about like season.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you bunch it together, then it becomes a group.
Yeah, he goes to that field.
That's the idea. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like a group together.
Exactly. So now
not
he says
one piece. You put in
no, I mean it could be. Question. It says once you put. Well, I mean it doesn't necessarily say. I mean kilef natan duch yado. You just put one in your hand. Meaning, the whole essence you're leaving it for later. You're not for right now. So if you leave it for later, that's problematic. So now he says, Rabbi Elazar, v'chinah Shabbat. Rabbi Elazar says this din is the same for Shabbat. What is he talking about? We have mifarek. Mifarek is a toledah of dash. So if you are breaking something open and you're leaving it for later, that's asur. You're not allowed to do that. It has to be done for right now. Right? This is similar to other laws of borer, where it also has to be done for right now. If you want to take the good from the bad with your hand, then it has to be for right now. It can't be for later on. So you're saying it's the same thing. Rabbi Elazar says this also applies for Shabbat. So the Gemara says, "Ini, is that the case?" Rav's wife would peel for him cups and cups of seeds of tochmeh. If you go tell your wives, they would peel tochmeh for you, so you can have it open. You don't have to go through the process of. You know it's open for you already on Shabbat. And Rabbi Chia's wife did the same as well. So how can you say that it's asur? Ela itmar asefia itmar. No, I meant to teach on the end part of the Mishnah. Hamolel melilot shel chitim. If someone is crumbling or rubbing the ears of grain, minapech miyad liyad veochel. The way he can get the chaff off of it is by just fanning it, waving it in his hand, so that the chaff falls out of his hand, and he can eat it right away. But if you fanned it and then you put it in your lap to save for later, like while you're okay, let me put a few and save them for later. You're already chayav in maaser. Amar Rabbi Elazar v'chena Shabbat. For that, Rabbi Elazar says also is for Shabbat. So the Gemara says that
fanning as a group.
So it's a question here if it's miyad liyad. Or aliyad aliyad. There's a difference. I think miyad liyad is, or what's the girsa change here is miyad liyad. So I remember miyad liyad means just you're fanning it in your hand. Whereas, what's the word here? It says aliyad aliyad. It sounds like from one hand to the next. Or the other way around. Sorry. Miyad liyad is from one hand to the next, which is what it sounds like over here. And aliyad aliyad is when you're just fanning it in your one hand.
I think the problem is to collect it for later.
Yeah.
If you do like this and then eat, it's okay. But
if you put it then, you put it in your lab, that's a problem, exactly. So he says, Matkif la Rabbi Abba bar Mamal. He has a contradiction. Vereshin maaser in the Shabbat law. What, the initial part, the first part of the Mishnah, is only chayav in maaser, and you wouldn't be chayav on Shabbat? How can that be? Umi ikamidi dilinyan Shabbat lo havi gemar melacha. Ul maaser havi gemar melacha. Is there something that for Shabbat, it's not considered a finishing of a melacha, but for ma'aser, it is considered a finishing of a melacha? Generally, when you finish a melacha for ma'aser, it becomes obligated ma'aser. The person would also be chayav if he did that on Shabbat as well. That's what we understand. So he said, no, matkifler of Shashat, bered ravidi, says, velo, we don't have a case of somewhere where you would be chayav in ma'aser, but you wouldn't be chayav for Shabbat. V'hag gornan le ma'aser, the threshold for ma'aser. Ditnan, ezu gornan le ma'aser. What is it considered a goren for ma'aser? Hakishuin v'diluin. We have the cucumbers and the gourds or pumpkins. Mishik ifakisu, until they, once they blossom and their blossoms fall off, that's when they would be chayav. And if they did not fall off, once you put it in a pile, then it's chayav in maaser. So it says utnan nami. It also taught in the Mishnah gabe betzalim with onions. Mishayamid arema. Once it's put in a pile, then it's chayav in maaser. Vilo gabe Shabbat hamadat arema patur. But with Shabbat, if you pile something, if you pile food, that does not make you chayav in any way. You didn't do any isur by piling. So clearly, we see that the finished melacha of maaser is not always something that makes you liable on Shabbat. That's what he's saying. So what are you going to try to say? Melechet machashevet asera Torah. So he says, no. So melechet, this is a famous concept. Melechet machashevet asera Torah. The Torah forbidded melacha that was professionally planned. That's a professional melacha. Whereas, so he says, hachanami, so too over here, melechet machashevet asera Torah, that the case of the barley, right? How they were able to peel in the original part of the Mishnah where it says you can peel it and put it in, and if you put it on one of your hands, or you put it on the side, it would be chayav in maaser, but that wouldn't necessarily make you chayav on Shabbat, which is why these rabbis' wives did that for them. So it's saying, melechet machashevet, that's not a professional thing to do. So since on that professional thing, that's not a ma'aseh uman, that's not a, you know, the Torah did not forbid something that you don't necessarily, I don't have kavanah for anything asur, I'm not doing anything wrong, there's nothing wrong, and I'm just peeling something for food, just so happens I'm putting it for later. What am I chayav for? So he says, over there, the Torah did not forbid something that wasn't melechet machashevet. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Ketzad molel? How do you rub the ears of grain?" Abayem ishmei de Rav Yosef Amar, chada achada. You do it one finger on one finger, like this. Yeah, one on one. Okay, Rav Avya ishmei de Rav Yosef Amar, chada atarte. He says no, one on two. He is saying you're doing a shinoi, so you don't do it the exact way you usually do it.
One on two.
Like this. Okay, Rava Amar Kevan Mishane Afilu Achada Akulhu Nami. So he's saying you're trying to avoid the palm. Comes Rava and says, no, since you are doing it in a shinu, you're not using a kli to rub it off. You can do it even with your whole palm. That's what he said. Ketzad Menapeach. So how would you fan? We said you would fan the chaff off with your hand. So how do you do that? Amar Rava Daba Rava Amar Rav Menapeach Mikishrei Etzbeotav Ulmala. You would do it from your. You can. So okay, so the previous opinion Rava was saying you could do it with your whole hand, right? Now it's saying over here, okay, no one said you're allowed to use for this purpose, for fanning, use your whole palm, use your whole hand. It's saying you do it mikishret beotav ulmala. Right? He says you could do it from the fingertips and up, from the knuckles and up. Mechachu alav ma'arava. In Eretz Yisrael, they would make fun of them for doing this. He says, kevan demeshane afilo akulu yadanami. Since you're doing a shinui, you can even do it with your whole palm, with your whole hand. So he says, no, you can do it with your whole hand and with all of your strength because you're already doing it b'shinui. Generally, they would do it in a kli.
Yeah, they
exactly. So right now, they're doing it in their hand, so it's already a shinui. You could do it with it. They were trying to make like a double shinui. Like, let me do it with my fingers. Let me do it at the top of my fingers. You don't need to do that. That's what he's saying.
But he doesn't say like you can do it under, below others.
Yeah, no. He says one hand. The Mishnah now says...
But if that's the normal thing to do on a... For regular eating, that might be a regular action for regular eating of the food product.
Right, but that's not something that would require. Meaning, what would be required of you to do is just to make a shinui. You just want to make a shinui. You just want to show that it's different. That's
shinui
all.
From actual melacha.
From the regular.
From winnowing. From the original forbidden.
No, so over here Rashi says, what's the reason you shinui? Ba'ed me'uvda dechol, because it's like a uvadin dechol. It's something you do during the week. If it's a mundane thing you do, so if you change it from your regular mundane thing, there's no isur. It's just a mundane thing that's isur. Let's keep moving, because I think they have another class as well. New Mishnah. Beit Shammai Amrim Tevalin Nidochin Be'madoch Shel Etz. Okay, now we're going to talk about the isur of tochen, of grinding on Yom Tov. Right? So Beit Shammai say, if you have spices, you can crush them in a... right, there's a, we said last time, there's a pestle, which is the crusher, you know, like the nochodo beans, and then the mortar at the bottom. So that's the, that's what it's talking about. It says you're allowed to crush it, but only in a mortar, a wooden mortar, not in a stone one. They used to have stone ones. So this is a shinoi already. V'hamilach, but salt, bipach, uv etza parur. And salt can be done in a flask, let's say, and a wooden spoon. So these are different types of shinuim. For melach, you need more. Salt, you would need... continue, sorry. Okay, so but melach, you generally need more. So with regards to melach, you would require a bigger shinui. So we're almost done. We're about to finish. Rashi says... Here. B'makom sheyesh melach gasa bepach shel cheres. So he says, when you have thick salt, you should do it with a earthenware flask and things along those lines. It's a bigger shinoi for salt. That's what he's trying to prove. So let's see what the Mishnah says. And then it says, "Ubeitelal amrim tevalin nidochin kedarkan." Beitelal says, "No spices you could do the regular way." V'madoch shel evin in a stone mortar. V'amelach v'madoch shel etz and salt has to be done in a wooden mortar, which is a shinoi from its original state as well. So he's more mekel. He's more mekel. So there's a wooden mortar. There's a stone mortar, which is the regular, wooden mortar, which is shinoi, and then like a flask or something different that's doubles like all the way out. So salt, he does all the way out. Beit Shammai. Okay, Gemara. The kule alma miat melach ba'ya shinoi. Everyone agrees though, for salt, you require shinoi. Right? We saw that from everyone, for tochen. My tama, what's the reason? Rav Huna v'Rav Chista. Two opinions. Chad amar, kol ha-kederot kulan tzichon melach. One said, all dishes need salt. And if all dishes need salt, you should have put it in from yesterday. Why should you wait till today? If you know it's going to need salt, put it in from yesterday. But not all dishes need spices. So you don't know what you're going to put spices in. V'chadamar kol tevalin mefigin ta'aman. One opinion says, no, spices, their taste goes bad from yesterday to today if you put it in the dish. Whereas melach, u'melach inad mefigat ta'ama, salt, its taste does not go bad. So salt, you should have put from yesterday. Spices, you shouldn't have put from yesterday because it would go bad. So my benayo, what's the essential difference between these two opinions?
Salt pickles them.
So, ika benayu diada mai kedera baile basule. One opinion. So, the difference between the first answer, what's the difference between them, is you know what dish you're going to cook tomorrow. If you know what dish you're going to cook tomorrow, then you should be required to put spices from yesterday as well, according to the first opinion. According to the second opinion, you still don't need to put spices yet. So, according to the first opinion, you would need a shinoi for spices. But according to the second opinion, you wouldn't. What's another example? Iname b'morika. Or another example could be with zafaran. If you're using like zafaran or let's say turmeric, turmeric is a spice that it doesn't go bad from one day to the next.
Right.
This is something they had from back then. So it doesn't go bad. So according to the second opinion, you had to put it from yesterday. If you didn't put it from yesterday, you need to do a shinui today. Whereas according to the first opinion, you don't require a shinui because you don't know what dish you're cooking. Amar v'yudah amar Shmuel. Kol ha-nidochin, nidochin kedarkan. Anything can be crushed the regular way. Afilo melach, he says, even salt. V'amart melech ba'ayah shinui. I thought you said salt requires a shinui, doing it in a different manner. Hu da'amar ki aytana, he said like this tana. Detanya amar b'meir, lo nechalku beit shemaya b'tilel. Beit shemaya b'tilel did not argue. Ala nidochin, should nidochin kedarkan. On things that can be crushed the regular way. U'melach imahen, and salt can be crushed with them. Lo nechalku ela ledocha b'fina atzma. They're only arguing if you can crush salt on its own. Shebeit shemaya omrim melech b'pach. Beit Shammai say it has to be done in a flask and or a wooden spoon. Litzli, that's for roasting, because you need less salt for roast. Right? You need a lot more salt for cooking. Beit Hillel says you're allowed to use anything. The Gemara says, you're allowed to use anything. The Mishnah said you're not allowed to use anything according to Beit Hillel. So it says, Ela ema lechol davar. No, not with anything. For anything. You could do it for roast or for cooking. But you still need to do a slight shinui according to Beit Hillel as well. So how can you? So that's what he's saying. He's saying we have this opinion that all things need to be done in a shinui. It's only talking about. He said it's only talking about melach bifne atzma. That's what the machloket was. Amar le Rav Acha bar de la libre. He said to his son, "Ki daichat atzle atzloye vedoch. If you're gonna crush on Yom Tov, do it on its side. Take the mortar and pick it up on the side like this, and do it like this. So it's in a shinui. Right. He says do it in an unusual way." Rav Sheshat Shama Kal Buchna, he heard a noise coming from his town of a mortar or a pestle in this case. Amar, like a pestle smashing into a mortar. Amar Hai Lav Migave De Bitaihu. This is not from my house, he says. It's not coming from my house. Vidilma Atzlui Atzle. Maybe it was coming from your house and they tilted it to the side and they did a shinui. So he says, Dishamay Dahavat Salil Kale. He heard it was a very clear sound. So he knew it wasn't on the side. They were baki. I don't know how they can tell if it's on the side or not. But he knew it wasn't on the shinui. He said, it's not from my house. Maybe it was spices. See, the Gemara is trying to give him a zechut. Maybe it was them, but they did it the right way. Maybe spices, you're allowed to. No, spices, it makes a very loud sound, whereas salt does not make as loud a sound. That's what he says. I don't know the metziut if that's correct or not, but... Okay. Tan Rabbanan. Enosin tisni. Okay, you're not allowed to make tisni. Tisni is a difficult grain to break. It's basically, you have to chop it into four quarters. It's like a kernel or wheat that you cut into four pieces that's very difficult to crush. So you're not allowed to do that. Ve'en kochin machdeshen. And you're not allowed to crush in a mortar. So, I mean, why does that have to say both? The Gemara is going to ask. Tarte, you're telling us both things? Just tell us you're not allowed to crush in a mortar, and I'll know the first part. You don't have to tell me I can't make tisni. I know I can't make tisni then. Hachi kamar, this is what I meant to say. Ma ta'am enosin tisni. Why are you not allowed to make tisni, this quartered, this difficult quartered grain? Lefish ein kochin machdeshet, because you can't do it in a mortar, because you're not allowed to crush in a mortar on Yom Tov. Velema ein kochin machdeshet, why can't they just say alone, I'm not allowed to crush in a mortar, that's it. So it says, "Itane en kochinu machteshet havamenia." If it would have said you're not allowed to crush in a mortar, I would have thought, "Hanemile b'machteshet gedola." That's only in a big mortar. Aval b'machteshet ketana ema shapir demay. But in a small mortar, I would have thought that that's perfectly fine. Kamashmala, and that no, even in a small mortar, it's asur. So it had to tell us that you're not allowed to make tisni, to teach us even in a small mortar.
Why not? If you drink an unusual way, what's wrong with that?
Because it's a big torah. It takes a lot of effort. Your torah gadol hu shekotesh achitim ad shenechlakim echad le'arba. Rashi says, you're doing hard work until it gets into four pieces.
Maybe
the big...
Too much work. They don't want you to do too much.
Yeah, exactly. So the Gemara says, v'hatanya, ein gedola, we have a braita that says you cannot do it in a big mortar, but you're allowed to do it in a small mortar. Against what we just said. We just said, for other things, you're allowed to use a small mortar, seemingly. Or at least we would have thought. Amar Abaye ki tanya nami matnita. Machteshet gedola tanya. When the Braita was saying, it was saying also for machteshet gedola, that's what the Braita was referring to. But when it comes to, that's for in a general sense, right? But when it comes to tisni is an exception that you cannot do even with a small mortar, because that takes a lot of Torah. So that's different. That's what he's trying to say. And we'll finish off. Rava Amar, Rava says, he answers the question differently. Amar lakashya, it's not difficult. Halan v'halehu. This is the difference between B'nai Bavel and B'nai Eretz Yisrael. In Bavel, I guess they had servants who weren't mezalzil. They weren't, Tosfot explains this. Leolam matam kamar v'shum ketisha lo sharia afilu beketana. You're not allowed to grind even in a small mortar. Umar lulu b'nei Eretz Yisrael sheyesham avadim shemezazim b'davar. It's talking about kach b'yeres kuntres. Rashi says, and Tosfot explains him, that it's talking about slaves or servants that are mezazel with this. What, I can do it in a small one, I can't do it in a big one, what is this, huh? So he says, and people who are mezazel like that, they're going to say, oh, I did it in a small one, but really he did it in a big one. He's going to lie to you.
What's the mezazel mean?
Mezazel means disgrace. They're going to tell you, oh, I grinded in a small one to let you eat it. No, he really did it in a big one. He's just playing around with the games. So for those people, for Bnei Eretz Yisrael, we're machmir. Whereas for Bnei Bavel, we're lenient, because they're not going to do that. They're more medayek. Okay, let's finish off. Rav Pape ikla de Beimor Shmuel. Rav Pape went to the house of Shmuel. He visited him. They brought before him daisa. Daisa is another type of grain. It does not take as much effort as the tisni. It's like maybe three chops. So it's not as much. So he says, he didn't eat it. They brought in front of him daisa and he didn't eat it. Maybe they did it in a small mortar. How do you know they did it in a big one? So he says, he saw it was very fine. So he knew that. Sorry. Okay, so they saw it was very fine, so they knew he did it in a big one, not in a small one. Maybe they did it from yesterday.
There you go.
He says, no, they saw it had these white streaks in the grain, so he knew it was from today. They were so baki they could tell these little things. If you want to say, Shane Bemor Shmuel, the Ika Pritsuta de Avde. No, even though they were in Bavel, the house of Mor Shmuel, the servants over there were very disgraceful. So they would play this game of, oh, I did it in a small one, even though they really did it in a big one. And so therefore, in his house, he said everything is Asur, small and big, even though he was in Bavel. Amen.